Chapter 4, Zinfandel and the Corti Connection. Friends at First Sight. In 1963, a man named Darrell Corti walked into the rustic Trinchero tasting room, introduced himself to Bob Trinchero, and initiated a chain reaction of fortuitous events. Among California vintners and the connoisseur of food and wine, Darrell Corti has long been a prominent character. In addition to running the family business, Corti Brothers Family Grocery in Sacramento, Corti has served as an international wine judge, a paid consultant to the Italian Trade Commission, an unofficial advisor to many vintners and food purveyors throughout Northern California and the world. In 1999, Sevier magazine dubbed him the man who knows everything about food and wine. At the time, Joe Heitz, Sutter Home's neighbor across Highway 29, had been delivering his wines to Corti Brothers in Sacramento for a year. When Corti asked him if he knew of someone in Napa Valley who would bottle some decent jug wine to sell under the Corti family's Tosca house brand, Heitz suggested Sutter Home. That's what brought Corti, his father Frank, and his uncle Gino to the tasting room for that first visit. The Cortis liked the Sutter Home wines, and in 1965, Bob began to produce gallon and half-gallon jug wines for the Tosca label. Bob Trinchero and Darrell Corti soon became good friends, and they remain friends to this day. "Darrell brought me other people's wine," Bob explains. "I'm making $50 a week, and I had a wife to support, so I couldn't afford to buy other wine. When Darrell tasted my wine, he was very diplomatic. He didn't say my wine tasted like horse piss. But he did say, 'Bob, I brought you a couple of bottles of wine, and I want you to taste them,' without coming out and saying directly, 'Bob, this is what Zinfandel is supposed to taste like.' So I tasted them and said, 'Wow, this tastes a lot different.'" The deficient flavors in Sutter Home's wines weren't necessarily due to Bob's novice palate. In fact, Sutter Home's production facility was badly infected with bacteria. Bob was still using the wooden casks that had been in the winery since before Prohibition. Over time, the casks had sprung leaks, and as a kid, Bob had clambered inside to mend damaged seams by stuffing them with dried reeds pulled from the Napa River. "Those tanks smelled terrible," remembers Bob. "Then you put wine in there, what do you expect the wine to smell like?" With Corti's help, Bob developed a broader palate that allowed him to taste his own wines with perspective. The wines he bought in bulk from other winemakers to make his own blends, a common practice in those days, began to improve too. Vermouth and vinegar. Bob often treated his excellent vermouth, made from Uncle John's recipe, and Marsala, for wines from winemakers like Mario Gemello in Mountain View. At one point, Bob told Corti that he'd tasted some of Gemello's Cabernet Sauvignon from Saratoga, liked it, and bought 100 gallons. Cabernets didn't sell very well at the time, but back at Sutter Home, Corti tasted the wine for himself, understood immediately how good it was, and realized that Bob was developing the palate of a great winemaker. Corti said that if Bob would bottle the wine, he'd buy half the inventory and sell it for $2.79 a bottle, pricey for the time. Just then, Mario pushed through the swinging doors of the tasting room, and Bob repeated for his father the price they had just settled on. "No one's going to buy a wine at that price," said Mario. "I'll have that wine around for 40 years. I'm going to go broke. You'll drive me into bankruptcy." In fact, Gemello's Cabernet sold so well that Bob bought another 500 gallons and topped it off with some 1962 Ruby Cabernet from San Martin Winery. By 1970, when he sold the last 25 cases of that Cabernet to a customer from Berkeley, the price was $25 a bottle. After that, says Corti, Mario Gemello got smart. But by then, Bob was buying fewer wines from Gemello anyway. With new confidence, he focused on making his own high-quality wines at Sutter Home. Jamela wasn't the only one to trade wine for Bob's vermouth. When another Napa Valley winery changed hands, Bartolucci Vineyards, the previous owners gave Bob back the fortified wine inventory they had bought from him and bottled years before. Bob called up Cordy to ask what could be done with the old vermouth, and Cordy told him to open the bottles and put the wine back in bulk. It happened to be delicious, and when Cordy tasted it, he offered to buy it all. Bob washed the original bottles, refilled them, and sold the vermouth for a second time, 100 cases to Cordy at $12 a case. Bob printed up labels with the name Cantina Vecchia, which means old cellar. However, the regulators at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, ATF, wouldn't approve the label because without a vintage date, old as an age reference was not provable. Cordy suggested that Bob ask the ATF to give him the labels as a use-up, a one-time deal since they were already printed and would never be repeated. The ATF agreed, and Bob delivered the cases of Cantina Vecchia to Cordy Brothers. "It was terrific wine, bottle-aged vermouth," remembers Cordy. "I will never sell a wine that was that good again." In addition to fortified wines, Sutter Home in the 1960s was also known for its vinegar. Today, chefs and cooks clamor for specialty vinegars, aged balsamic vinegars from Modena, raspberry and other fruit vinegars, champagne vinegar from France, rice vinegar from Asia, and sherry vinegars. Back in 1967, such specialty vinegars were just being discovered, and sherry producers didn't want anyone to know they made vinegar. In Spain, even the Consejo Regulador, which controls the quality of sherry produced in the regions where it first originated, didn't want anyone to talk about vinegar. "People thought vinegar was spoiled wine," explains Cordy. "But vinegar is not spoiled wine. It's wine that has gone to completion." In 1968, a major American importer was unhappy with a shipment of sherry vinegar because it appeared darker than the light amber sherry vinegar their customers were used to. They asked Cordy to visit the producer in Spain, and when he did, the man explained that he had sent not the normal pale amber kind, but in fact his very best vinegar. Cordy returned to California and told the unhappy importer that he knew a winemaker who also made vinegar and who might be persuaded to take this dark stuff off their hands for $1 a case. Cordy contacted Bob, who reluctantly agreed to take it. He figured that at least he could reuse the bottles. As they had with the old vermouth, the Trinqueros opened all the vinegar, poured it into bulk, and washed the bottles. With his experience making good quality vinegars, Bob immediately recognized that this dark black sherry vinegar was superb. He took the Sutter Home white wine vinegar and mixed it with the dark sherry vinegar, diluting the color to the light amber that people wanted. The blend was packaged in new bottles with the label Sutter Home Sherry Wine Vinegar, the only sherry vinegar ever bottled in California. Bob found a new use for the old sherry bottles, too. They held 750 milliliters, which is now the size of a standard bottle of wine. At the time, however, U.S. wines sold across state lines had to be packaged in bottles that measured 4/5 of a quart. Bob put the bottles into use anyway, figuring the wines they contained would never be in demand outside California. They became the vessels of Bob Trinquero's next and most important escapade with Daryl Cordy, Sutter Home's very first Amador County Zinfandel. Devers Grapes. In 1968, Bob complained to Cordy about the escalating prices of Napa Valley grapes, which had reached an unprecedented level of $200 a ton. Today, that figure seems puny, since top-flight Cabernet Sauvignon grapes can fetch more than $20,000 per ton. But back then, Bob worried that grape costs would force him to raise the prices of Sutter Home wines, which he opposed on principle. "We can produce good wine for $1.99 a bottle," Bob said at the time. the consumer shouldn't have to pay much more than that for a decent bottle of wine. To solve the grape pricing problem, Cordy told Bob that high-quality, inexpensive Zinfandel grapes were available in Amador County, in the Sierra Foothill Gold Country, east of Sacramento. He and Bob tasted a bottle of 1965 Amador County Zinfandel made by Charlie Myers from 85-year-old vines from Amador's Shenandoah Valley. The wine was virtually black in color, with a huge bouquet of ripe, spicy blackberry fruit, a thick, chewy texture, and intense, robust flavors. Bob thought it was one of the finest wines he'd ever tasted. Cordy and Myers took Bob to Amador County to meet Ken Deaver, the grower behind Myers' 1965 Zinfandel. The Deaver family had been a pioneering presence in Amador County, first settling in the region in the 1850s, shortly after the discovery of gold at Sutter's Mill. They initially planted Mission grapes on their Shenandoah Valley property. Some of these ancient, gnarled Mission vines still exist today, but in the 1880s, they began to cultivate Zinfandel instead. Early Sierra Vines. In 1850, many of the fortune seekers who flocked to the Sierra foothills to prospect for gold were European immigrants, especially Italians and Serbians. They brought with them their love of red wine, and upon their arrival in the gold country, they planted grapevines. After the mines ran dry, many remained in the area to make their livings as grape growers and winemakers. By the 1890s, there were more than 100 small wineries in the area known as the Motherlode, Amador, El Dorado, Calaveras, Placer, and Nevada counties. Most specialized in the hearty red wines that thrive in the region's warm climate and poor, decomposed granite soils. Unfortunately, Prohibition destroyed this vibrant wine community, and unlike Sonoma and Napa, it remained dormant even after Prohibition was repealed. Only one winery, D'Agostini, survived. Vineyard land dwindled to a few hundred acres, its scant production purchased primarily by Italian-American home winemakers in Sacramento and in San Francisco's North Beach District. So, in 1968, when Bob Trinchero arranged to purchase 20 tons of Zinfandel from Ken Deaver, Sutter Home became the first North Coast winery to produce commercial wine from Sierra Foothill grapes. The Zen of Zin, Bob's Vision. Not only was Amador County unknown to wine sellers and consumers, but Zinfandel, at the time, had a lowly reputation. Although the wine enjoyed a period of prestige in the late 19th century as California's answer to French Bordeaux reds, it was largely forgotten after Prohibition. The new generation of grape growers and winemakers, anxious to establish California's reputation, had turned to classic French varieties like Cabernet Sauvignon. This had relegated Zinfandel to a secondary role as a rough-hewn peasant red, suitable primarily for blending into generic jug wines. When the Mondavi brothers bought Charles Krug Winery in the 1940s, they'd planted Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay, not Zinfandel. Bob Trinchero didn't mind going against the grain. Having tasted Charlie Myers' wine, he understood that Zinfandel could be much more than cheap swill. When Sutter Home released its 1968 Amador County Zinfandel in 1971, Bob knew it was the best wine he'd ever made, equal to those vinified by his famous compatriots in Napa Valley. He broached an idea to his brother and then his father, radical at the time, that Sutter Home should become a Zinfandel-only winery. Although Roger was on board, Mario wasn't crazy about taking the winery in this direction. It meant eliminating all the wines Sutter Home had successfully produced for years in favor of an untested variety few people even knew about. But he and Bob finally reached an agreement. Bob could eliminate other wines, but only if he first replaced their sales with revenues from Zinfandel. Then they had to agree on a price. Bob wanted to sell the 1968 Red Zinfandel for $3 a bottle, but Sutter Home was already selling whole gallons of wine for $1.50. So Mario and Bob compromised at $2.75 a bottle. Bob set aside a case of the prize 1968 Zinfandel for his father and said, "Dad, put this away and save it. Stick it in your closet. It'll only get better with age." Soon word spread about how good Bob's Zinfandel was, and it became an instant success. People drove to St. Helena from San Francisco just to buy it. Finally, when the winery was down to its last bottle, a customer walked in and pleaded for a case. "So what does Dad do?" Bob says. "He took the case I had given him and sold it to the guy. He just couldn't miss that sale. I said, 'Dad, how could you do that?' All he said was, 'You never know what tomorrow will bring. Make the best of today.'" Thanks to the successful launch, Bob increased production of his wine from Deaver Ranch. At the same time, other California wineries, notably Ridge and Maya Camas, also began to vinify Amador County Zinfandel, and a competition of sorts emerged to see who could produce the biggest, most intense wine from Amador's old vines. "In those days," says Bob, "we were all trying to out-zin each other." Oil de Paris, the first version of white zin. During all this time, Bob kept working closely with Daryl Corty. Corty would come in regularly after the harvest to taste the new wines, with special interest in the Amador County Deaver Vineyard Zinfandel. He even bought Bob high-quality oak barrels from the Nevers Forest in France, which enhanced the wine tremendously, eliminating the bacterial taint of the original Sutter Home barrels. In return, Bob sold wine to Corty exclusively. By 1972, Bob started experimenting. He extracted some of the juice right after crushing the grapes, but prior to fermentation. This technique, long employed by French vintners and called saigner, or bleeding, intensifies red wine color, body, and flavor by increasing the ratio of grape skins to grape juice during fermentation. The juice and pulp of most red grapes is white. It's the skins that impart the color and tannin to red wine. The method worked beautifully, and the 1972 Sutter Home Zinfandel was a marvelously dark, rich wine. Corty agreed, but now Bob had 11 barrels of white juice, which he'd extracted and fermented separately, and he didn't know what to do with them. He thought about dumping the wine into a big blend of Chablis, which Sutter Home still produced, but Corty suggested they taste it first. "I didn't particularly care for it," says Bob. "It was hard, and it was white, and it was dry, and it was coarse. It tasted kind of like a coarse Chardonnay, but Daryl thought it was interesting. He said, 'Bottle it up, and I'll buy half.'" Bob bottled 220 cases of the interesting white wine, and the next question was what to call it. Corty, expert on all things French, told Bob there was a French wine called Oil de Paris, Eye of the Partridge, a white wine, slightly pink actually, made from the Pinot Noir grape. That's what they decided to call the first vintage, but the regulators at the ATF explained that a wine label couldn't use solely a foreign term. It would need an English language descriptor. Since it was white and made from Zinfandel grapes, Bob wrote White Zinfandel under the French name to satisfy the regulators. The wine, tough to position in the market, did not meet with instant acceptance. "It wasn't a typical white wine because it was a Zinfandel," says Bob, "and it wasn't a typical red wine because it was white. And that first vintage didn't even have the pale pink color." He decided not to make the wine again in 1973, but when he abandoned the saigner method, his Red Zinfandel lacked the same intensity as before. In 1974, he returned to bleeding some of the juice off the red wine, and the Zinfandel was again a hit. And again, the second vintage of White Zinfandel, the 1974 wine, was produced in the same style as the 1972 batch from the leftover pale extracted wine, generated only a tepid response. Serendipity strikes. The third time was the charm. Bob sometimes calls what happened next serendipity, and sometimes a fortuitous accident. Whatever you call it, the results changed the face of the American wine industry. In 1975, Bob repeated the Seigneur process. Sutter Home was making more of its successful Zinfandel than ever, so he was left with even more extracted white juice, about twice as much as he had had the first time. Since the white stuff wasn't a priority, he stored it in barrels and decided to come back later to check on it. When he returned to sample it 2 weeks later, the wine was a very light pink. Well, that's pretty, he thought. Then he tasted it, and it was just a little sweet, too. While he'd been busy making the red Zinfandel, the white wine had suffered a stuck fermentation. That is, the fermentation stalled before all the grape sugar could be converted to alcohol. At first, he tried to get the fermentation going again. But when it stubbornly resisted, Bob bottled the wine as it was, with about 2% residual sugar. They took Oil de Paris off the label and just went with White Zinfandel. I thought no one would notice, he says. Instead, the subtle change in the White Zinfandel's taste and appearance transformed customer opinion. Suddenly, people asked for it, first buying bottles, then cases. Since Bob had dropped the French term, now people had a wine they liked with a name that they could pronounce. The 1975 White Zinfandel sold out, and it soon became the first Sutter Home wine to sell out every year. People kept coming back saying, "You got to make more of that," recalls Roger, who was by that time back from Vietnam and working at the winery. We sat around sort of scratching our heads, wondering what was going on. We weren't the brightest guys in the world, but we listened to our customers, and we respected what they liked, and it was evident we should make more White Zinfandel. The rest is history. Although other vintners may have experimented with making white wine from Zinfandel, Sutter Home became the first California winery to produce it commercially. By the end of the decade, Bob Trinchero's fantasy of transforming Sutter Home into a Zinfandel-only winery came true. The Trinchero's produced nearly 50,000 cases of wine, more than half of it White Zinfandel, and by the 1980s, they were poised to begin a very wild ride. A lifelong friendship. Wine aficionado Daryl Cordy had a profound impact on the Trinchero family. The moment he set foot in the Sutter Home tasting room in 1963, he forged a lifelong friendship with Bob Trinchero, ultimately introducing the family to the extraordinary Zinfandel vineyards of Amador County, long before the world paid much attention to the region. He was an early advocate of Sutter Home wines, which he sold in his Sacramento grocery, Cordy Brothers. It was Cordy who encouraged Bob to bottle the white juice he'd extracted and fermented separately from his 1972 Deaver Vineyard Zinfandel, and thus the world's first White Zinfandel was born.